Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 30th, 2022. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, Why We Cannot See Beyond the Universe. Our universe, cosmologists say, began with a big bang and has never stopped expanding since. They explain that we cannot see, or otherwise research beyond the universe that inhabits planet Earth. It is not for inadequate optics that we cannot study outside our universe, but because the laws of physics make it impossible to discover what exists beyond our universe, if anything exists at all. The reason that scientists maintain this is not because this is the absolute truth, but because they do not have the proper tools to explore beyond our universe. However, such tools exist, and if they obtain them, they will know what is out there and see it as clearly as we see each other. When mobile phone manufacturers want to improve their cameras, there are mainly two ways they can do it. The first, and obvious way, is to improve the hardware of the camera, the lenses, the shutter, etc. The other way is to improve the mind that deciphers what the lenses capture. This is done by employing more sophisticated software, better algorithms, and better processing units to run the improved computational skills that understand what the lenses see more accurately, and in this way produce a more detailed picture using the same optics. In studying the universe, we need to do the same. No matter how good our optics become, there is a boundary that they will never cross. To reach beyond that boundary, we must improve the mind that understands the images, which in this case, is us. We perceive our entire world through a very goal-oriented mind, and the goal is to serve its own interest. If something does not serve this self-interest, the mind does not perceive it. Therefore, in order to grasp what lies beyond our immediate interest, we must embrace other interests and make them our own. In simple words, we must learn to care about others as much as we currently care about ourselves. Think of our vision. Each of our eyes sees the world in two dimensions. However, when the picture that both our eyes see reaches the brain, it processes them and builds a three-dimensional image. If we were stuck with only the picture from one eye, we would not be able to see depth, and we would never perceive the world as three-dimensional. The same is true of our perception of the world. It is as if our personal perception is one eye, and another person's perception is another eye. As long as we are confined to our own perception, we are bound by the limits that our perception allows, a sort of two-dimensional perception. However, if we see the other person's view and merge the two, our perception of the world will acquire an entirely new dimension and give us a much fuller and richer understanding of the world. However, to achieve this, we must relinquish our self-centered attitude. The warped picture it presents to us is the cause behind every mistake we make in this world, as individuals, as societies, and as nations. Because we perceive others as opposition, we are trying to cancel them. If we realize that other people do not oppose us, but complement us, we would be able to embrace their perception, merge our perception with theirs, and create a whole new, and accurate, perception of the world. Now, imagine that we could do this not only with one more person, a second eye, so to speak, but with every person on the planet. The revelations we would discover are limitless. In such a state, there will truly be no end to what we will be able to perceive through our multidimensional vision, acquired by changing our attitude toward others from self-centered to inclusive. The more we think about it, the more we will realize that the solution to our problems lies not in better machinery, but in better us. My new article on LinkedIn, A Mundial Tainted by Death and Corruption. Does anyone care? It is hard to know how many migrant workers died building the soccer stadiums for the 2022 World Cup games in Qatar, but the two popular numbers are 6,500 and 15,000. Either way, no one cares. In addition to the staggering death toll for 2 weeks of entertainment, If you enjoy watching soccer, there are persistent rumors that Qatar bought its way into winning the decision to make it the host of this year's Mundial. Well, nothing new in this regard, either. We have not changed since ancient times, when people were served as food for lions before cheering crowds, or when people fought against the beasts for the audience's delight. In fact, we have become worse. So why should anyone care if thousands had died building modern entertainment halls? I admit that I am not a soccer fan. My teacher, Rabash, also did not care for it, but he respected the fact that it gives people joy. I can understand that and respect that, too. I also believe that if I were to attend a game and sit among the cheering fans, I might end up shouting at the top of my lungs and rooting for whichever team the people around me supported. Still, I feel no craving to do so. And more than I regret the loss of life, I regret the stark apathy with which humanity accepts this. This apathy causes much more than the death of thousands of construction workers. It causes wars, brutality, pollution, exploitation, and every wrong that humans inflict on other humans and on the entire planet. I hope that while people are celebrating soccer, they will at least think less about killing one another, but I am not sure that even this is true. The force of faith above reason. The measure of the filling is as much as one can go above reason, and this is called Romemut. There is only emptiness in a place where there is no existence, as it is written, hangs the earth over nothing. You find that what is the measure of the filling, of the empty place? The answer is, according to one's elevation of oneself above reason. This means that the emptiness should be filled with loftiness, meaning with above reason, and to ask of the Creator to give one that strength. It will mean that all the emptiness was created, meaning it comes to a person to feel thus, that he is empty, only in order to fill it with the Romemut, greatness, of the Creator. In other words, one is to take everything above reason, Shemati number 13, a pomegranate. We do not know what faith above reason is. It is a total separation from all of our calculations. I remember how 3 or 4 months after I started studying with Rabash, I asked him, what is faith above reason, since it is written that a person must always be in it? At that time, I even wrote down on my hand that one mustn't forget to think about faith above reason, even though I did not know what it was. As I was sitting in the car behind the wheel next to Rabash, I looked at what was written on my hand and asked him, what is the meaning of this concept? In reply, he gave me an example that is, of course, limited by the boundaries of this world. Suppose that a friend borrowed $1,000 from you and later returned an envelope to you as if it had the entire sum inside. But you find only $1 inside. Your friend says that there is $1,000 inside, but according to your calculation there is only one. Where are the other $999? That is when you can advance by faith above reason. That is, you attain such a correction, rather than just forgiving your friend the debt, that you perceive this dollar as if you received a $1,000 instead of one, as if the friend returned everything to you. But how do you perceive the $999 that are missing? This is called the force of faith above reason. It is impossible to understand what this means ahead of time. Only when this force becomes revealed inside of us, as a result of our inner efforts, inside of our desires, when we change, then we see that we really can make up for the knowledge with faith, and this faith is bestowal instead of reception. In any case, this will remain unclear until a person actually acquires this quality. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, April 26, 2011. Shemati. Two ways of perception of speech. Comment: when a Kabbalist explains something, a person does not hear the words, he feels you completely above logic. It only appears to him that he is hooked on your words. My response: I try to convey the material with feelings because, Actually, there is nothing but feelings. No matter how it may sound, maybe prosaic or frivolous, we are a desire to enjoy, and we measure everything according to this desire. No matter what I do, I still measure it inside me, create certain connections within myself, and thus study science, language, or anything else. I program my desire to enjoy according to new criteria. Let's say, my egoism gets a certain amount of points, something else gets a different amount, and so on. This way, I create a matrix within my egoism with respect to a single phenomenon or a set of phenomena. So, it already exists in me, I am, as they say, familiar with it. Then there is another area with respect to which I create a certain degree of importance of each phenomenon, action, or connection within my ego. This is how I get acquainted with this phenomenon, it already exists in me too, and I can talk about it. Restructuring is something else. When someone contacts me with their matrix, we connect with each other, debate, compare our matrices, and now I have the opportunity to use my logic for scrutiny. What does using my logic mean? There is no logic. It is the same desire to enjoy I check myself against, is he more correct or am I, and what is more beneficial for me? It also includes a huge apparatus of qualities I was born with, values, and habits that I have acquired. It all works together. These are complex systems of filtering the perception of everything that comes our way. But when we work for the upper world, for the Creator, this is completely different. That is, we do not work for ourselves, we do not take ourselves into account. Totally different properties and qualities are in play here, absolute. This is not about my personal, individual self. To the extent that I can enter others, that is, without taking myself into account, and connecting with others, I become objective. My desire becomes objective and then I can relate to everything on absolute terms, not my personal subjective ones. I am creating a so-called absolute Kabbalistic language. Whatever I take down, I can perceive from this record, this matrix, this language created by me, I can perceive the Creator. And you will perceive it, and others will too. Each of us makes this record coming out of their ego, above it. Therefore, on one hand, this perception will be individual, and on the other hand absolute, because you made it above the ego. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. How to Listen to a Kabbalist, November 9, 2013. Michael Leitman, on Quora, What Makes a Jew a Jew? Jews came about by detaching from the ego. That is the egoistic desire to enjoy for self-benefit alone, and discovering the upper world of bestowal and love above the ego. Accordingly, in essence, Jews are supposed to detach from the ego and think in terms of the upper world, which in practice means constantly thinking about how to benefit others. Today's Jews, however, do not think in such a way. Nevertheless, the Jews originated from attaining the upper world back in Abraham's time, when he guided a group of ancient Babylonians through a process of uniting above the growing egoistic divisiveness of that time. This group became known as the people of Israel and later as the Jews. Essentially, the attainment of the upper world gives a more global perspective to a person, since it stems from the connection of different forms and opposite poles of reality. However, after their origin, the entire Jewish nation fell from their spiritual degree, where they related to reality out of a pure intention to love, bestow and positively connect, to our egoistic world and seemingly exist like everyone else. Jews thus have an inner split. On one hand, their ego is like anyone else's in the world and even much bigger, but on the other hand, according to their internality, they are organized more toward the upper world's qualities. Records from that initial connection to the upper world is the reason for Jews' disproportionate success in the world, even though their success is nothing compared to what it could be. That is, they could be millions of times more successful than they are today because their preparations from nature are boundless, since they became Jews from initially breaking out of the boundaries of the egoistic desire and entering the boundless world of bestowal and love. They thus have the preparations to attain the upper integral world, because inside Jews is a feeling of an ability to arrange the world in a way that is boundless. Based on the video What is the Origin of a Jew? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. How can you talk to the Creator? Comment. Your student writes, Good afternoon, dear teacher. I appeal to you with a request, teach me to talk to the Creator. I have been studying Kabbalah for more than 12 years. My husband died 2 months ago. We lived together for 28 years. He wasn't involved in our study, but he was such an angel behind me. He helped me study, work, and disseminate. He passed away and it's very hard for me. My heart is torn. Your articles and videos help. I talk to my husband very often in my heart. I ask for his help in business and for advice. But this is not normal, he doesn't exist. There is only the Creator. How can I learn to turn from the image of a person directly to the Creator? Please help me. Thank you very much for your reply, although I know that you don't have time for private messages. Sincerely, Elena. My response, first of all, my condolences of course. Second, the fact that your husband has physically died and is not next to you does not mean anything. Absolutely nothing. On the contrary, his connection with you is even stronger, only you don't feel it to the extent that it exists. Therefore please do not imagine him as missing, lost, or gone, but as if he is with you internally, mentally, and spiritually. And that is how you should treat him. Talk to him and talk to the Creator. Talk. Don't do anything else. In precisely the way you want to talk, that is how you should talk. Both he and the Creator will understand you. And the best thing is that you speak in your simplest language. Question. And what about the fact that Lena has doubts? I'm talking to him, to my husband, but I should be talking to the Creator. She says. Answer, it doesn't matter. You are simply talking to an upper force about your problems. Your husband, the Creator, and all of us, are included in this upper force. Question, is it a correct conclusion that when I talk to someone from the heart, I always talk to the Creator? Answer, with the Creator. There is none else but him. This is the most terrible problem. When you look at other people, both bad and good, it's just a representation of the Creator to you. Question. So if we make an effort and manage to come to the conclusion that it is the law that I talk to the Creator all the time, then will the world change? Answer. Yes, but people don't want to understand it. It is hard to imagine, you have to force yourself. Question. So is Lena doing everything right? She talks this way to her husband, whom she does not see but clearly feels. And is this the right way? Is this what prayer is called? Answer, yes, of course. What is prayer? The fact that the members of the Great Assembly, Knesset Hagdolah, composed prayers is because people moved a little away from the Creator and could not address him simply in a human way. So they composed all sorts of prayers for them and replaced this simple heartfelt appeal to the Creator with words. The words are very correct. The people who composed these prayers were in attainment of the Creator. But this is not something that a person can say himself from the heart. Question. But it is practically a revolution for a person that he cannot read written prayers. There are a lot of written prayers, but how would one read from the heart and speak? And do you say that it will be almost the same with the same effect? Answer, it will have an even greater effect. If a person speaks from the heart, then the effect is greater. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, August 25, 2022. How can we perceive reality correctly? Comment. You said that it makes no sense to suppress external factors, for example, enemies, but it is important to change them within yourself. My response, we have many axes of misperception of reality. First, everything that exists, exists in us. Everything that is perceived by us, is perceived in our desire. It is either egoistic or altruistic. What does it mean that I perceive something outside of me? It is how I am shown that I am made up of these elements, of these desires. Desires are projected outward in the form of inanimate, vegetative, animate nature, man, and then the Creator. All this exists in me and manifests itself to the extent that I can respond to it in the right way and correct it. If, for example, harmful phenomena appear outside of me and I see them, it means that they exist in me, and I cannot correct them externally. Of course, I can destroy them, hit them, alienate them, and so on, but that is not correction. In principle, it is a sign of my weakness or lack of understanding of what is happening. If I have a correct attitude toward the universe and what happens in it, then I must act differently. I must understand that all these phenomena exist in me, and I see them in front of me. Therefore, I need to correct them in me, and then they will disappear in such an unpleasant form. Therefore, if all kinds of enemies rise up against me, I must look for these qualities in myself, correct them, and then they will be corrected outside. It is written, who is a hero? He who conquers his inclination. And who is a hero of heroes? He who turns his enemy into his friend. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Turn an enemy into a friend, November 18, 2013. Realize yourself fully. Question: we often explain the appearance of a person in a Kabbalistic environment and his departure through some events, for example, his fatigue. But surely, he has functioned when he was supposed to appear, fulfill his purpose, and then move away, that is, to realize himself precisely in this way, right? Answer: no. It is just that a person cannot cope with what he was given. He was given the opportunity to move forward, and he did not cope with it. Question: does it mean that if he enters this system, he must fully realize himself? Answer: yes. If he was given this opportunity, he can realize himself fully. This is how he should accept it. And we do not know what special conditions there may be regarding him. Only as the system of connection between us is being revealed, perhaps some conditions will be revealed as to why he could not move on. I would not make any calculations. It is not for us. We need to advance. We have an open system of connections before us. You can reach the world of infinity, that is, to full connection with everyone, up to the complete revelation of the Creator, the quality of bestowal and love between all. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. Everyone has their own purpose, November 15, 2013. A system of spiritual perception. Question: is it possible to call accepting the opinion of a friend, even though it is the opposite of one's own, faith above reason? If so, how do I do it without disregarding my own opinion? Answer: faith above reason means contrary to my opinion, I accept the opinion of a friend and follow it 100%. I am trying to make his opinion, even though it is the opposite of mine, become mine. You need to experience it yourself, and gradually you will be able to understand what it is. Faith above reason is a system of spiritual perception where you begin to see the spiritual world above our world or through it. It is not easy. You need to spend a lot of time and expend a lot of effort until you start to perceive everything this way. This is a completely different system of the universe, as if you have a completely different mind, feelings, and thoughts. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 16, 2020. Will we become like a colony of ants? Temperatures are rising, and one colony of ants will soon have to make a collective decision. Each ant feels the rising heat beneath its feet but carries along as usual until, suddenly, the ants reverse course. The whole group rushes out as one, a decision to evacuate has been made. It is almost as if the colony of ants has a greater, collective mind. A new study suggests that indeed, ants as a group behave similar to networks of neurons in a brain. Rockefeller's Daniel Cronayer and postdoctoral associate Asif Gal developed a new experimental setup to meticulously analyze decision-making in ant colonies. As reported in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they found that when a colony evacuates due to rising temperatures, its decision is a function of both the magnitude of the heat increase and the size of the ant group. The findings suggest that ants combine sensory information with the parameters of their group to arrive at a group response, a process similar to neural computations giving rise to decisions. We pioneered an approach to understand the ant colony as a cognitive-like system that perceives inputs and then translates them into behavioral outputs, says Cronayer, head of the Laboratory of Social Evolution and Behavior. This is one of the first steps toward really understanding how insect societies engage in collective computation. Rockefeller University question: how would you apply this to a human being? Is it applicable to a human being? Can a person reach such a state with another person? Answer: no. It is possible to reach this state through tremendous internal work but not simply instinctively the way birds or fish or other animals do. Question: for animals it is instinct whereas for us, it is work to achieve this state. Answer: of course. You see how fish in the sea all swim in a huge school that can include hundreds of thousands of them. Question: and man often abandons another person and runs away because he is hurt. You, as a Kabbalist, do you think we should reach a state where we start to feel one another this way, where we exist in one breath? Answer: generally, we will have to. But it will not happen the way it does with fish or birds but by us, calling out to the Creator and asking Him to connect us, within Him. For Him to connect us, in His upper mind, in the desire, and then we will roll together with Him. This is what we want to strive for. So, the Creator will be the force that unites, governs, and guides everything. Question: then thoughts about me, that I feel hot, will go away? Answer: I will be inside of Him. What thoughts are there? Everything is done. Question: meaning, I am entirely inside of Him and rely only on that? Answer: yes. He has already swallowed you. It is the same for everyone. Question: and then we become a single body, heart? Answer: yes. Look at those fish, they are in Him instinctively. But we need Him to do this for us. Question: when we see this, the way birds, ants, and fish move, why are we being shown this? For us, to see it and maybe even envy them? Answer: it is for you to see that there is a state of adhesion, unity, an obedience where each one annuls himself for the sake of everyone. Our purpose is, in spite of our egoism and individuality, to reach the same state. Question: and what if we were not endowed with this individuality? Answer: then we will be like fish or birds. And what is the rationale for that? Question: meaning, then we would not feel that happiness? Answer: only if we want to do it in spite of ourselves. Then you feel pleasure from submitting to the Creator in spite of yourself in order to be together with everyone you want to separate yourself from. Do you understand what kinds of opposite forces are operating here? And at the convergence of these opposing forces is precisely when you reach adhesion with the upper one. Comment: bliss, as they say. My response: yes. Question: the feeling of not wanting to connect with others, does this feeling not disappear in me? Answer: no. You rise above it. Question: so, one way or another, I am left with this black hole inside of me? Answer: of course. Love covers all transgressions. That is, egoism must always be below, and there is connection and love above it. Otherwise the love will disappear. Transgressions must be there. Comment: we are very different from ants. My response: they don't have it, they just karmically work. Question: so what, they don't have this feeling of happiness, then? Happiness, revelation? Answer: no, they have the sensation of carrying out their instinct. That is, they feel themselves executors and self-sufficient, but no pleasure. We were given the opportunity to receive pleasure and be happy. Comment: precisely when we overcome ourselves. My response: only then. Question: otherwise, a person cannot attain happiness? Answer: number from CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, August 4, 2022. Michael Lateman, on Quora: is Ray Kurzweil correct in saying that advances in science will enable man to live forever? My question in relation to Kurzweil's statement is, what is so good about us, constantly living all the time? Why live at all if we are never to die? On the contrary, if we attain the purpose of our lives while we are alive, then we will reach a spiritual, eternal and perfect state, that is one where we will have no feeling of a lack. In our current lives, we constantly live out of feeling lacks and the need to fulfill our lacks. However, we can reach a state where we have no such feeling of a lack, but that we have an abundance of everything. Developing ourselves spiritually has nothing to do with medicine or technology. It has to do with our inner world, that is, with how we feel that we can give and receive from everyone, and to live in a world is boundless, with no beginning or end. Then, even if our bodies die, we will not feel it as death.